This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, once again, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. First of all, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be here with you today, invited by the Islamic culture or cultural, I don't know how you pronounce it, center, and the new center and the new masjid, mashallah. I came here in, I think, the first time I came to Norway, I think it was 2007, and the first place I actually came to was this masjid. I was honored to give and deliver the Jumu'ah khutbah. And the masjid was under construction. And they were showing me the plans, that we have plans to construct the masjid, and there was a project. Alhamdulillah, as we walked in today, all thanks and great gratitude and shukr is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have a beautiful masjid in Norway, in Oslo. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of all the brothers and sisters who have assisted and helped, donated in any way, shape or form to the cause. And it's also great to realize and know that we have a program, a youth conference, and inshallah this should be one of many. My topic and what I want to talk about, maybe some things you might have heard of before, maybe some things you may have not heard of before. If you have, then the Quran says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's a reminder. Remind one another, because reminder and reminding one another benefits the believers. We, at the moment in the world, we are going through a very difficult stage. We find many problems. There's global conflicts, social conflicts, disunity, problems, chaos, anarchy. We find quarrels, debates, disputes, argumentation in every corner of every part of the globe. Two people, wherever they are, whether it's at the home, family, parents, children, siblings, people cannot just get on with one another. Everybody has an opinion and an argument and a debate. Nobody wants to listen to anybody else. Unfortunately, we're living in that time. And there's global conflicts. There's problems everywhere. There's conflicts, disunity, wherever we see. In our relationships, we have a major problem in our relationships. Parents, children, at home, family members, relatives, marriage problems, divorce problems, in-law problems, you know, the greatest problems of the world. They say the greatest problem of the world or the oldest problem is mother-in-law, daughter-in-law problem. But there's problems everywhere, baggage everywhere. The main cause and the main reason for these problems and the conflicts and argumentation and disunity that we find ourselves in and we see human beings involved in, there are many causes, but there's one very important or significant cause. You can consider it to be the most effective cause. And this cause is not acting upon and not implementing a very important part of the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, a very important part of the teachings of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is not we as Muslims and human beings in general, but we as Muslims because we are trying to follow the Quran and Hadith and the Quran and Sunnah and the teachings of Islam. We have not, or we do not want to implement the teachings of Tazkiyatul Qalb. The greatest cause is the lack of spirituality. We have diseased hearts. We need to go back to reforming our hearts and our souls. This reforming of our souls is actually in Islam fard ayn, which means it's obligatory personally. Obligatory, you know, like we have to pray 5-time prayers, it's personally obligatory upon every Muslim to pray Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, more important than anything else. Likewise, it is obligatory on each and every individual, man, woman, male, female, old, young, whoever, wherever, to ensure that they work on their hearts, on their spirituality, they reform it, they remove, they work on reforming their souls and work on removing all the spiritual diseases known as the blameworthy character traits that have been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Every single one, there's a list, I'll talk about one or two, but these spiritual diseases, we have to actually actively, we need to work at this. It will not come easy just like that. It's an obligation. Tazkiyatul Qalb means having a reformed heart, a reformed soul. And this is in the Quran. There's numerous verses, numerous hadiths of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you see what, when we look at Islam, when we look at the commands of the Quran and Sunnah, when we look at the verses and the hadith, we find that the teachings of Islam have been divided into three categories. Pick up the Quran, the ahkam, the laws, the do's and don'ts of Islam have been divided into how many categories? Three categories. Look in the Quran, look in the Sunnah, all the commands and prohibitions, all the do's and don'ts, all of them, they've been divided into three. We have one category, category number one, known as aqaid, the laws of aqidah, the belief system. Okay, this is the first category. There are commands. We have to believe in Allah, we have to believe in the oneness of God, we have to believe in all the various attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to believe in the life hereafter, about angel, we have to have belief in all the other prophets and the books of Allah and all the scriptures, and avoid the don'ts. The prohibition is like avoiding shirk and associating partners with God, etc., etc. So that's just one category of the do's and don'ts, the commands and prohibitions. We find in the Quran and Sunnah another category, second category of commands and prohibitions. The second category are the laws dealing with or relating to our external body. So there are do's, commands. Salah, offering salah is an external command. Zakat is an external command. Fasting is an external command. Hajj is an external command. Right? Likewise, we have prohibitions. Just like we have do's, we have don'ts. Backbiting is haram, sinful. It's externally. Zina, fornication, adultery, stealing, murder, killing someone. All these are external sins, prohibitions externally. Likewise, we have the third category. Just like we have to ensure that we implement the commands in the first category, we avoid the prohibitions in the first category. And just like we have to implement the commands of the second category, we have to offer salah and zakat and sawm and hajj and avoid, you know, the sins, the prohibitions. Likewise, the third category, there are commands and prohibitions. There are do's and don'ts. We have a list of internal laws relating to the heart. We have commands. These are known as fada'il. These are obligations. A Muslim must implement these fara'id internally. We have to ensure we have ikhlas, sincerity. We have to ensure we have sabr, patience. It's a fard. We have to ensure we have tawadu, which is humbleness and humility. We have to ensure that we have ithar, which is giving preference to other people. We have tawakkul, reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ensure, we inculcate within ourselves the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise we have prohibitions internally, the don'ts. Pride, arrogance is unlawful. It's a major sin. Love of dunya, having love of dunya, of the world, it's a spiritual disease. You have to avoid it. As I said, jealousy, hatred, enmity. We see all the problems in the world today is because of a diseased heart, a lack of spirituality, lack of reformed souls. Every criminal, every abuser, every miser, every thief, every fornicator, every criminal, every person who loots. You know, in England, London, you know what happened? Yeah, in the news, there was a great meeting being done. And many of the scholars, they said that, look, the main reason is, there's two reasons behind this. One is, until human beings, humanity, not just Muslims, until humanity, they do not come to realize, they don't believe in God, they don't realize that they have to have taqwa, they don't realize in the next life, they will have to respond and be, they'll be questioned, they'll have to answer to God, this God consciousness. Until they don't have taqwa and God consciousness, and until they do not reform their hearts from spiritual diseases, then it will only get worse. And you know, this looting, it's wherever, it's just not on the streets. You know, this looting and this criminality takes place everywhere. Some people loot on the streets. Yeah, some people go into the other field, oil fields of other countries and loot. There are some people looting the banking system. There's people looting everywhere. Greed is everywhere. It's just not just these, you know, greedy people, these youngsters that were in London. It's everywhere. In every department, at every level of society. But the only two things that will prevent people from causing this type of criminality is that they become aware that they will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God. They are conscious that, you know what, anything I do, even a penny I take of someone else's money, I will have to pay that back in the next life. We have to have that yaqeen in the next life and reform our diseased souls and hearts. And the Quran is filled with this. The hadith and the sunnah is filled with this. What does Allah say in the Quran? هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Allah says, you know the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. What is the reason? Why did Allah send the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in this world? Allah tells us the job description of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل في ضلال مبين. He recites the book, يتلو عليهم, and he teaches the book, and he teaches them wisdom. And the fourth part of the job of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is that he spiritually purifies, and he did spiritually purify his companions, his students, and they passed on that spirituality to their students. And this is a legacy, this is the teachings of Islam. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah says, if you want to be successful in the next life and in this life, you want falah, حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ. What does falah mean? It means success and salvation in this world and the next world. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, it's from the same word, falah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who zakkaha, purified the soul, removed slowly and gradually. It's a job, it's a work. It may take 2 years, it may take 10 years, it might take 20 years. Right? It's a job. We are not here just like zombies, the living dead, you know, in the land of the living dead. We have a job in this world. Islam is not just about just opinions and argumentation and that's it. It's not just about all of that. It's about a job. It's about something we have to do with our lives. You know, sometimes we can have an argument about all these philosophical issues, but we don't wake up for Fajr Salah. I mean, 2 rak'at of Fajr Salah is far better. None of any type of degree or any sort of knowledge will be of any benefit to any human if he does not offer his 5 time prayers. Because it's fardu ayn. Man taraka salata mut'ammidan faqad kafar. What does the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? One prayer you miss, you've left the path of Islam. That's what he says in the hadith, even though there's discussion of the scholars in terms of the meaning of the hadith. So Islam is about working on your heart, fulfilling the rights of God and fulfilling the rights of the creation. We have huquq that we have to fulfill. Allah has huquq. Allah has rights. We have obligations. We have to ensure that we fulfill the rights of Allah. Then we have to ensure we fulfill the rights of the creation. Creation means our parents, our children, our siblings, our spouses, husbands, wives, our siblings, our relatives, our cousins, people around us, the general Muslim community, and even non-Muslims, and even animals. Everyone has a right in Islam. But we have an obligation, and we have to ensure this is not, we are not here just, you know, useless, that we just, that's it. We just debate and argue and we just learn certain things and we become all philosophical and that's it. Islam is about, you know, enhancing your spirituality. This is what we see in the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. This is what we see in the life of the Sahaba companions. This is what we see in the life of the Tabi'un and the Salaf, the early scholars. Each one of them, if we really saw the Salaf seriously, brothers and sisters, we will feel ashamed to even be alive if we saw how they were, their spirituality. Look at the Sahaba, the type of selflessness. They would give their lives for others. You know the stories like in the battle of Yarmouk and other places. You know the story once they were in the battle and there were people lying about to die, and one person, he bought, one young brother, he bought some water to his thirsty uncle. He said, look, no, my brother here, he's thirsty, he needs water, go and give it to him. He went to him. He said, no, there's another brother, he's dying, he needs more water than me. He went to him. He said, no, the fourth person. He went to the fourth person. When he came to the fourth person, he had left this world. His soul had left his body. So he came back to the third one. He had left this world as well. He came to the second one. The soul had left his body. He came to his uncle. He's passed away as well. Giving their lives. A guest came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will entertain this person? A companion, Ansari companion. He said, Ana ya Rasulullah, I'll entertain him. He just said, okay, I'll entertain him. He said, entertain him, I'll take him home. He took him home. Without even what? Phoning on his iPhone, phoning the wife. You know the problem is, if you don't tell the wife you're bringing someone home, that's it, you're gone. Yeah? But he went home. The wife said, what? I've got a guest. We have nothing at home. We've got just small amount of food for the children and that's it. There's nothing at home. I said, okay, just make the children go to sleep. Just you know, they'll cry, but just give them some water or something, make them go to sleep. The children, the mother made them go to sleep. He told the guest, come inside. He told the wife to cook whatever's there. And what happened? The wife remained hungry, he remained hungry. He sat with his guest and pretended there was a light. He put the lamp out, pretended, you know, something happened. There was candles in those days. He put the lamp out and he pretended, I'm eating. And the guest is eating, thinking that the host is also eating. And the guest didn't even realize that he never ate. He sacrificed the food of his own family and his children for his sake. This is actually quite significant, because sometimes even when we do something good, we actually want others to realize, yeah, you know what, I'm doing something good. Do you know, I sacrificed food for you today. You might not say it like that, we might not say it like that, but we will at least want them to know that, look, listen, I have done something for you. So, you know, next time when I need you, then you have to come to my help. Islam is not about transactions. It's not about buying and selling. Everything is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why I was saying that this is the spirituality. The disease, like I'll mention one or two, and this, the disease of riya, the spiritual disease, riya. You know what riya is? Everybody knows. Ostentation, showing off, doing things for the sake of the creation. What does Allah say? يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. He's describing the munafiqun, the hypocrites. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They just want to show people. They do not have ikhlas. The opposite of ostentation, the opposite of ri'a is ikhlas, sincerity. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. We've been commanded that everything we do, from praying to fasting to donating, to giving in charity, to being good to others, whether it's your family members, you only and solely have one intention, to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Nothing else. This is known as ihtisab, in the words of the hadith of Al-Bukhari. Man صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Ihtisab is a golden word. We do things only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. The first hadith in most hadith books. Actions are by the intentions. If we don't have sincerity, no matter how big the act may seem externally, in the sight of Allah, it's this small. Nothing. رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ. This is not a hadith. Abdullah ibn Mubarak used to say, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُكَبِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. Sometimes an act seems major, great, huge in the sight of people. But according to Allah, it's very insignificant. It's small because the intention is not there. You are donating $20,000, but the intention is, I am a very generous man. 20,000 from me, look, I am giving, donating. Okay? That nobody knows, it's all in the heart. We can't accuse anyone of anything, brothers and sisters. Okay? But this is everyone between them and God. Okay? So, it's the intention. Somebody might donate $1, but the ikhlas is there according to Allah. وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُكَبِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. The reward is more. This ostentation, riya, is considered to be shirk. Al-khafi, man salla yura'i faqad ashrak. A minor, lesser type of shirk. So, anything we do, we have to ensure. This is a spiritual disease, unfortunately, we all have. And we all have to work. Every one of us, sisters, brothers, we have to work. Islam is a job, it's a work, it's a system in place. We have to work. It might take time. It's not easy, we have to work. Even when we fulfill the rights of the creation, we have to ensure our intention is only to please Allah and nobody else. When I am good to my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my teacher, my students, my husband, my wife, whoever I am good to, Muslim, non-Muslim, anyone I am fulfilling their rights, my intention must be, this is ikhlas, I am doing it for the sake of Allah. Which means I am not waiting for a return. I am not inviting you for my wedding, not my wedding, I'm just saying as a person. I'm not inviting you for my wedding, because then when your wedding time comes, you will invite me. No, that's not the intention. If that's the intention, then you're buying and selling. I am good to my parents, not because they'll be good back to me. I'm not bringing up my children that when they grow up, that's a wrong intention. You do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're good to your Muslim brothers, sisters, non-Muslims, whoever they may be. Do not wait for a return. Do not expect anything from anyone. That's actually, the ulama say, the greatest ingredient to be happy in this world is have no expectations from anyone. Once we stop having expectations from anyone, we'll be the happiest people in the world. Because you're good to someone, he never even said thank you. So what? My reward. How many times I speak to couples, the wife is phoning and saying, but you know, I do this, but you know, he still doesn't do anything for me. The husband says, you know, I treat her so well, but she's... So look, your reward is in the next life. Don't worry, if he's not giving... I'm not saying that you just suffer. Of course, there are levels. But if it's not to an extreme level, then small things can be overlooked, because whatever you're doing, you're not doing because the other party will be good to you. Your reward is in the next life. Allah will reward you. And this is actually in the hadith of Al-Bukhari, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. The real maintainer of ties is not the one who maintains ties when others maintain ties with him. That's not the person who's really maintaining ties, because that's easy. If someone's good to me and I'm good back to them in return, that's the easiest thing in the world. The real maintainer of ties is the one when people cut him off, he or she still maintains ties for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the real test. And that's the job. So this is what ikhlas means, sincerity. Doing anything and everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you donate, it's for the sake of Allah. When you want to give a gift to someone, it's for the sake of Allah. For the pleasure of Allah. To acquire and attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reward in the next life. That's the only objective of a Muslim. There is no other ulterior motive. You are not a businessman when you're acting upon Islam. You know, sometimes in business you have ulterior motives. When we smile at someone, it's for the sake of Allah. Not a business smile or a customer service smile. You know the customer service is an artificial smile. Okay? Hi, thank you, you're welcome. It's all a customer service smile. This is not a business smile. The hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would smile at people. Nowadays people have become too rigid. And sometimes they connect it to practicing upon Islam. I met a brother in London, I had a program. And he's so like rigid and so harsh and he's so frustrated. And I said to him, I said, brother, he came to ask a few questions. I said, relax, you're very tense. Islam is not about just all being tense and that's it. Once you become practicing, that's it. It's all about just dying tomorrow. You might just die in the next minute and that's it. You know, everything. There's nothing in the world, just everyone. Some people become so extreme in religion, they can't even smile. They think, you know, smiling at people is actually you becoming less practicing. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah was to smile. Abu al-Darda radiallahu anhu, he would constantly smile. Ummu al-Darda, his wife said, oh Abu Darda, why do you keep on smiling? يَقُولُ النَّاسِ إِنَّكَ مَجْنُونَ. People will say, you're crazy. He said, I saw my beloved Habibi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always smiling, and because of that, I always smiled. إِنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ أَنْ تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلَقٍ. Hadith, it's from righteousness, it's from being practicing Muslim, that you meet your fellow brother or sister with a pleasant, smiling face. This is what Islam teaches. Doesn't matter if it's from another group, from another background, from another madhab or whatever. Sometimes we smile more at non-Muslims than we can smile at other Muslims from different backgrounds. That's crazy. You know, you see in the masjid, oh, this brother, he's from this group, he prays like this, or he prays like this, or can't even say salam. The next moment you come out of the masjid, you go to the bank, hi, how are you? The weather's really nice, what's happening? You know, there's a nice lady there. This person at least has iman in his heart. You can't smile with someone who has iman, who reads the Quran in the morning, and someone who's not a Muslim is smiling at them. You can't smile at the non-Muslim. But this Muslim deserves more smiles than this non-Muslim. But this is a problem, we're living in, because we've got ourselves into these mentality of groups. So, this is what Islam teaches. Whatever we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhlas, one of the spiritual diseases we have, hasad, it's a major disease. وَمِن شَهْرِ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. The first person, we were talking about Iblis, somebody was talking about Iblis, the first sin to be committed, Iblis committed the sin of jealousy. And this is why he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. How can I prostrate and make sajda when I am created from fire? Now the lesson is not just a story that we just, it's like a thrilling story, let's have a philosophical debate about the story. The lesson is, brother, sister, you have to work day and night to rid yourself of the disease of jealousy. Think at night before going to sleep. Off the light and think, am I a jealous person? Am I being jealous when I see my fellow worker promoted? Do I have jealousy? Do I burn? Does something happen to me when my mother-in-law is praising the other daughter-in-law? Is something happening to me when I see someone, this guy's too rich? Is something happening to me in my heart? Am I burning because I see someone has, you know, better health or better looks? If that's the case, then this is a spiritual disease. No one is harmed by this spiritual disease except the hasid, except the jealous himself. Because you will suffer yourself. You'll be frustrated. The other person, he doesn't even know about it in most cases. And this is actually a major sin. We are objecting to the qadr of Allah. Because Allah has divided, taqseem. Remember, Allah has given people different gifts and bounties. Someone Allah has given wealth, somebody health, somebody looks, somebody family, someone this, someone that. Everyone's been given something. This is a taqseem of Allah. Jealousy is a major disease. Iyyakum wal hasad. In the sunnah of Imam Abu Dawood, a sound hadith. Iyyakum wal hasad. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدْ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَرُ. Avoid jealousy. Because jealousy eats away, consumes away your good deeds like fire eats away wood. You know how does fire eat away wood? Slowly, gradually, slowly, slowly. Jealousy will eat away all our good deeds. And we must pray to Allah that He removes this disease from us. This disease of jealousy. Having hatred, having enmity and hatred in the heart. Jealousy and hatred in the heart. This adawa, hiqd, bughd, a major disease for anyone. You know, the Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, one of the great Imams of this Ummah, he has written in one of his books, Lataif al-Ma'arif, he says in there that if you look, he has a chapter, he says, you know, all the occasions, are you understanding me? All the occasions when Allah's rahmah, mercy descends and Allah's forgiveness descends. You look in the hadith that there are certain people Allah forgives at this time, at this time, at this time, at this time. At all those occasions, there's always a mention that the one who has hatred and the one who cuts off ties, the one who's got enmity, Allah doesn't forgive. There's a sound hadith in the Musnad of Ahmad and other places. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Allah forgives everyone. يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. The one who believes in Allah, in the oneness of Allah, doesn't commit shirk. Allah forgives everybody on Mondays and Thursdays. Except إِلَّا الْمُتَهَاجَرِينَ. Except the two who have deserted one another. They don't talk to one another. Allah forgives everybody on Mondays and Thursdays. Except those. يُقَالُ. It is said to the angels, wait until these two don't reconcile. Until they don't start talking to one another, forgiveness is closed. Mercy is closed. لا يهجر أحدكم أخاه فوق ثلاث فمن هجر أخاه فوق ثلاث فمات دخل النار. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not desert your fellow Muslim brother or sister over 3 days and three nights. Whoever deserts, there's enmity, there's qati'atul rahim, you've broken ties. Whoever does that and dies in that state, may Allah save us all, that person shall be cast into the fire of hell. May Allah save us all. Ameen. This qati'atul rahim, having enmity, not speaking to people. And it's even worse when it's in the family. How many families we see brother not speaking to a brother, sister not speaking to a sister. Even worse, son not talking to the father. And you know what? Many of the times, you know what the problem is? What is the cause? What is the cause? On many occasions, what's the cause? You know what that is? Money issues. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. That's another spiritual disease. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ. Love of dunya is the root of every evil that takes place. Someone dies, inheritance, the families are divided into 25 years. I just met a family last week. People murder because of money. People fight and argue because of a few dollars. And it just goes on. Again, hubbu dunya, spiritual disease. So jealousy, we have to remove it. We have to remove the disease of selfishness. Being selfish, we live in a world where I, myself, and only me matter. Nobody else matters. We have to remove that. We have to replace it with spirituality, with a praiseworthy character trait. Which one? This trait or this quality is called ithar, giving preference to others. And I mentioned two stories. Look at the companions, look at the early Muslims. They would prefer everybody over themselves. Every time we need to put ourselves in the shoes of the others. Not literally speaking, yeah? I'm not telling you to go and wear someone's shoes. But you know that phrase? Every time when you're dealing with someone, go on the other side and see how it feels. When you're an employer, the only thing we do is we think from our perspective. We have two criteria, one criteria for ourselves, another criteria for someone else. Islam says bring this quality of ithar. If you're an employer, think about the employee. If you're an employee, think about the employer. If you're a landlord, think about the tenant. If you're a tenant, think about the landlord. If you're a husband, think about the wife. If you're a wife, think about the husband. If you're a father, think about your son. If you're a son, think about your father. If you're a brother, think about the other brother. If you're the ruler, think about the general public. Everyone has to think about the other side. And that's what Islam says, ithar. You know, when you deal with your tenant, think. If I was a tenant, go on this side for one moment. Okay, now I'm the tenant. Okay? If you're a husband, become the wife. Not literally speaking, okay? But just for one moment, think. If I was a wife, would I want my husband to treat me like this? If you're a wife, think how is it to be a husband. Put yourself in the shoes of the others. Allah says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. This is the quality, the companions. They would prefer others over themselves. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And I said enmity. What does the hadith of Musnad Ahmad say? What's the quality? You need to bring this mutual love and harmony. There's an amazing hadith, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, radiallahu anhu, in his Musnad. He relates this hadith, he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minu ma'lafatun, wala khayra fi man la ya'laf wala yu'laf. A believer, what's the definition of a Muslim? This is a definition being defined, a believer is being defined. According to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi, who is the mu'min? What's the definition? He says, a believer is ma'lafatun. You know what ma'lafatun means? An abode of love. A utensil. It's a fountain of love. A place from where love pours out. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَحْلَفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. There is no good in the one who does not love others and others don't love him. This is the quality, this is the attribute, this is the characteristic, this is the trait. This is the trait of a believer. And we have some more, but time is meaning ending where it's ended. But things like pride and arrogance, a major severe disease in Allah, لا يحب المتكبرين. Allah does not love the one who has kibr. Pride and arrogance is a major. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. Someone who has a small atom's worth of pride, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this person shall not enter Jannah and Paradise. We need to remove that arrogance. Everyone, you know, we find many of us, we are arrogant. All of us, me myself included. That's why we have these problems. Many of the times our arguments and debates is because I just for one moment don't want to inculcate the quality of tawadu, humbleness, humility. Islam teaches us, even if you disagree with someone, you disagree with a lot of adab, with a lot of humility. Okay, maybe I've misunderstood, but you know, speak, even the tone that we use, full of arrogance. Yeah, akhi, you know, I think you're wrong, you know this. That's not a way to talk. We need to speak and converse with people. Look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu wasallam. How would he speak even to his enemies? Do you see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being arrogant? The way he would walk. Look in the Shama'il. These are sound hadith. When he would walk, he would slightly, you know, put his head down and walk. Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi. He wouldn't walk like this. No, it's me walking. He would walk like this with his hands down. Look down, his head down. There's a way of walking. Unfortunately, there's too much pride and arrogance within our communities. And so we need to remove this disease of pride and arrogance. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهِ. The one who has pride, Allah throws him down. The one who has tawadu, humbleness and humility, Allah elevates him. And knowledge, brothers and sisters, should bring more humility. Knowledge increase, if it's true knowledge, if it's for the sake of Allah, if it's for the pleasure of Allah, if it's really, if acceptance is from Allah, then it brings more humility. And if you see someone learning and not having humility, then this is not beneficial knowledge. And normally what happens, someone who has a bit of artificial knowledge, have you seen a big fat fish in a small pond? Yeah? I went to an aquarium last week. saw this massive fat fish, you know, really juicy, juicy fish, fella just taking, eating it. Big fat fish, small tank, small fishes, trying to scare everyone, chase all the other fishes. I'm the boss. That fish probably thinks, you know what, I'm the biggest person in the world. You know? But what does that fish know? Come out in the world, there's like Jupiter and Mars and other planets out there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? A one-eyed person becomes a king in the kingdom of the blind. Okay? That's what happens. When someone has a bit of knowledge, they've read a few hadith, a few verses of the Quran, few words of Arabic, few like kayfa halak and hayak Allah, and a few things, knows a few words here and there, they become that, like, I know everything. You know a few things. The early scholars used to say, كُلَّمَا ازْدَدْتُ عِلْمًا ازْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا بِجَهْلِ. The more I increased in knowledge, the more I became aware of my ignorance. When I see water that is in a small cup, when you see knowledge that's this much, you think, oh yeah, everything's in my grasp. I know everything. Go in the middle of this Atlantic Ocean. See water on your right and your left. See this oceans of knowledge. Then you realize that you don't really know nothing. You can have 600 years of life. There were scholars in the early times, they would not do anything except study. Still, they were humble. You know, there are scholars, there's people, imams who actually sacrificed everything. Some of them would hardly eat. Some of them didn't even marry because they were too busy studying. Seriously, people like Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah. These people didn't marry. There was a female, Al-Musnida Karima Al-Marwaziyah rahimahullah. She was a great muhaditha. She taught hundreds of men hadith. She never married. All their life, like some of them barely used to sleep. Nothing else. They would know 100,000 hadiths by heart. In the early times, a hafiz was a title given to somebody who had memorized 100,000 hadiths with the chain, the isnad, by heart, by memory, not a few translations of Sahih al-Bukhari. And still these guys are so humble. You can't even see anything. They don't show no arrogance. And this is what we need to bring within ourselves. It's always, everything should be for the sake of Allah. We seek knowledge, keep it for the sake of Allah. Try to benefit others, make dua for others. If you really see someone doing something wrong, advise them with good nasiha, with good preaching, with gentleness, with politeness. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah, with wisdom, with wal mu'idhati al hasana. And I end on this, that a lot of times people say, look, but I see my brother, he's doing something wrong, or he's not understanding Islam properly. Of course, okay. Go and give him counsel and give him good advice. But make dua for him as well. Rather than argue with him, spend 1 hour at night in tahajjud salah, qiyamul layl, cry, shed some tears, nobody's watching you. Oh Allah, my brother, oh my sister, you know, I think he's in a wrong methodology. 2 hours crying. And the next day, oh Allah, I'm going to inshallah go and speak to him. Oh Allah, I want you to guide him. If it was really for the sake of Allah. And then leave it if it doesn't accept whatever you have to say. Because your duty has been fulfilled. But we won't cry for them, we won't shed tears for them, we won't make dua for them. Because it's not about really caring for that person, it's about what? Just showing our superiority. It's about just my group, my sect, my, you know, dominion and my family and my whatever. So we have to come out of this me, myself, I attitude. Be humble, we need to be gentle, we need to be polite towards people. And inshallah, if we do that, just all these spiritual time, as I said, there's no time we need to elaborate, but it's a job, it's a work. Islam says we have to work on our hearts. This spiritual heart, okay? This ruh and soul and heart. We have to work on it. You know, even this ruh, even animals, we share this with the animals. The poet said, عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ فَاسْتَكْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا فَإِنَّكَ بِالْرُوحِ لَا بِالْجَسَدِ إِنسَانُ. Look after your soul, look after your heart, work on it, nourish it. Because this, by your spiritual heart, you are distinguished from animals. Because even animals have souls, even the chicken and the goats and the elephants and the lions and the cats, they also have it. But you as a believer, the way you distinguish yourself is عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ. Work on the spiritual heart. This is the spirituality connected to the physical heart. And we have a job that we have to work on our hearts. And remember that we have to die one day. know, all these enmities and argumentation and debates and fighting and quarreling and all the problems that I talked about, it's not going to benefit us anything. And I'll just end with this, I just need to end this, but there's a long hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, it's a sound sahih hadith, but it's just one line of that hadith. There was one companion, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his Sahaba companions in the masjid. He said, يَطْلُعُ الْآنَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Soon the man who will enter the masjid is a man of paradise. Everybody looked, who is it? They saw Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Next day, same statement, same man. Third day, same statement, same man. After 3 days, another companion, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he said, I ran after him and I said to him, you know what? I didn't tell him really the reason, but he just said, I've got some issues at home. Can I just stay at your house for 3 days? I need to stay at your house. He said, I want you to see what was he doing at home that made him a man of paradise. He said, I stayed with him and I was observing him, watching him. He said, he wouldn't do nothing. He's not writing a book against some group, okay? He's not arguing about any philosophical issue. Nothing. Even the basic obligations, he said, he wouldn't even wake up for Qiyamul Layl, which we should, but at that time he wasn't probably. He said, nothing. So after 3 days, I couldn't resist. I said to him, you know what, really, this is the reason why I wanted to stay at your house. What's that action? What do you do that's made you a man of Jannah? He said, مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتُ. Whatever you see, that's it, nothing really. But he said, maybe just one thing. غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَجِدُ غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَحْسِدُ عَلَى خَيْرٍ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Except that I have no jealousy towards anyone. And in another riwayah of Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he said, أَخَذُوا مَضَجَّعِي وَلَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِي غِمْرٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. Every night I go to sleep in a state that I have no animosity, no resentment, no hatred towards, no negative feelings towards anybody. With a clean heart. And these are the people of paradise. And these are the, you know, sometimes we see some people, simple person, this guy, we think, oh, this guy, it isn't, this is not even sharp, clever. You know, some simple people come in the masjid, they're just clean-hearted. رُبَّ أَشْأَثَ أَغْبَى لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَبَرَّ. These guys are simple people. And these are the type of people Allah loves, because they have no animosity towards anyone in the heart. Sorry for going the whole time, but I'm going to end with this. Inshallah, Allah grant me, first of all, of course, and all of you, and all of us, inshallah, the ability to practice on some of the things that were said, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening. Barakallahu feekum. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.